welcome to the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. I actually missed all of you because last week we didn't have a meeting, and I hope we missed each other. And we are only going to be dealing with the budgetary report, since we know that we are in the period of budget votes where we need to adopt the report. I would hand over to the Secretary to give us any apologies if we do have.
Apologies that I have received one from the Office of the Minister and also the Office of the Deputy Minister. I understand both of them are in the tourism indaba in Durban, and also from SJ Khoza from the IFP. And yeah, those are the only one I have checked.
Okay, thanks, Secretary. The approach that we are going to follow is that we are going to be looking into the draft budget report for the Portfolio Committee on Tourism, which we need to adopt before we can actually proceed with our budget vote next week on the 17th. But I will hand over to the content advisor to lead us through the report, and then we will look at issues which we do agree on those that need to be amended before we actually adopt it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, honourable members and colleagues. As the Chairperson has indicated, I will just take the members briefly through the report, but I don't think I have to go through everything, since some of the information contained is information that has been scrutinized when we were looking at SAT and NDT annual performance and their related budgets. So if it's fine with members, I'll request to start from page 17, because what we did was to consolidate information from what the committee dealt with in terms of substantive issues from what transpired from their presentation. So that goes till the top of page 17, but I think then we need to look at the observations, because now we have lifted issues from the interaction now of the committee with the two organizations, and the way the observations are structured, there are those that are specific to NDT and those for SA Tourism. With regard to the NDT, on page 17, we are looking at the issue of budget allocation, the entire budget. We are saying it's appreciated that our vote is one of those that got some additional budgets, yet it doesn't address the budgetary requirements of the sector. Then we included those three scenarios that we discussed with SAT in terms of the marketing investment framework, to say as much as budget has been increased, but still we are falling short of what is required to actually drive the sector and deal with, and harness all the social economic benefits of tourism. On page 18, I'll just take members down in those bullets. They were saying, if you look at the recent meetings of the ministers of G20, they have agreed on a number of issues which are pertinent and relevant to our sector in South Africa as well. And if our budget is not increased, it means as tourism in South Africa, we're going to be left behind. They agreed on issues of ensuring or encouraging policies that will promote productivity, gainful employment. They are looking at issues of stimulation of innovation and entrepreneurship, and also attracting investors, issues of collaboration with educational institutions. They have issues that deal with SMME development and niche tourism that would include heritage and culture, and also looking at the whole digital trends that are emerging within the sector. And we're saying if we do not fund the sector, we're going to be left behind. Members of the call, SAT has already indicated that in terms of their budget, they are already far behind when compared to their counterparts elsewhere in the world. On page 19, members looked at communication strategy to say NDT has a lot of projects they are implementing, but they don't seem to trickle down to community level, especially rural areas, so there was a need for improvement of their communication strategy, in addition to the meeting that the minister and deputy minister always host. Also, there was an observation about the volatile nature of the operating environment to say, as tourism, the sector is sensitive to whatever shocks that happen, not just within the country, but globally, but particularly those that happen within the country, they then jeopardize the chances of growth. So we're looking at issues of social, political, safety and security issues, health concerns. Currently we are facing the issues of listeriosis and so on, to say SAT, as much as they said they're addressing this issue, but remember they said there wasn't much done about it, so they need to improve on how they communicate these things with other counterparts, particularly the inbound tour operators. Master plans, the committee appreciated that the department will be developing master plans, particularly for neglected tourism destinations in areas such as Port St. John's. And members said, okay, it's fine that the department is doing these plans, but the commitment must be to implement these plans once they are finalized. Improvement in project planning. The committee over the years has been concerned about poor planning with project management within the department, where, for example, they'll be implementing projects with other stakeholders and they'll include them in the APP without finalizing the plans with those stakeholders. And the department indicated this year that they have done forward planning, so that advanced planning, then the committee said it must be implemented, so there must be improvement based on the advanced planning they presented to the committee. On legislation, policy and strategy formulation, the concern was that this is the final year of this committee and the bill has not been submitted yet, and this places the sector in a strain because there are issues that needed to be improved in the bill that have not been tackled. That includes issues of technological advancement, meaning the country is now behind in terms of the technological advancements that are taking place. Not that that in particular with the sharing economy, not that the committee is saying the country must do away with the sharing economy, but is to put some regulation in terms of ensuring that, for example, if we have people using Airbnb, we are sure they are safe. We are sure that the areas they are visiting are somehow graded. But since the Act is not in, so the issues of grading also cannot be tackled. So it goes beyond just that. When it comes to grading, it comes to also challenges with the grading system itself and the home of the grading and the policy direction that needs to change whether it remains voluntary or free but compulsory, and the sentiment of the community is that it must be free but compulsory. The members were talking about, even if you look at the revenue streams that were presented by SHE, the amount they get from grading is negligent. So the committee was saying, rather make it free but compulsory, rather than making it voluntary and there is no mechanism of monitoring compliance. Tourism statistics also, the committee raised a number of issues around the veracity and the reliability of the tourism statistics that we are using in the country. There was even a discussion about how many tourists, international tourists, really generate a job in South Africa, and SAT said they were not even sure how that is calculated. So that is why then the committee says the issue of tourism statistics needs to be revisited so that we deal with credible statistics. 7.8 deals with access. With the realization by the committee that South Africa is a long-haul destination and that makes it costly for international tourists to come to South Africa. But in addition to us being a long-haul destination, we also have these other inconveniences to our tourists, particularly with our visa regime in South Africa. The issue of the unapproved certificate that still needs to be resolved, and the issue of e-visas. And the committee will recall that when the minister was briefing the committee, said no, there are some discussions and something will happen in that regard, but the observation is it needs to be expedited because there's been long discussions about this. So this, because if you look at even other sources of information, you can see that industry is really affected by our visa regime and the documentation that is needed before people can enter the country. The Tourism Transformation Fund on 7.9, the committee appreciated that the fund is still implemented even in this financial year, but the issue or the concern is about the capitalization of that fund. To say it remains 120 million for 3 years, and it will just be a drop in the ocean in terms of the funding requirements of the emerging enterprises. There was also on page 21, youth service, youth employment service, the Youth Initiative that was recently launched by the president, to say the department and the ministry should look at how they can also benefit from this initiative by engaging the private sector to employ youth through that initiative. Then we continue looking at now observations with regard to SAT. 7.11 deals with implementation of the 5-in-5 strategy. Members, recall this 5-in-5 strategy, sometimes we talk about it loosely, yet it is the gist of what SAT is doing. That 5-in-5 is everything that SAT is doing. And this was the last financial year was their first year of implementation. But the observation by members, as to say, in terms of the targets they had set for themselves, already they are behind. If you look at arrivals, they are already behind by 614,000. And we know that arrivals determine other key performance sectors, indicators in terms of the economic contribution of tourism. If we have less people coming into the country, it means will have less revenue. If we have less revenue, it means less contribution to the GDP, therefore less opportunities of employment from the sector. So it's not a matter that should be taken lightly, that in their first year of implementation already, they are lagging behind in terms of the arrival. With regard to domestic tourism, here the issue, I think it's more than what we captured here, but we wanted to highlight something which is like an emerging trend as was identified by members, to say as much as domestic tourism is declining, as much as visiting friends and relatives is declining, but the new trend is that we have fewer South Africans traveling but spending more. meaning domestic tourism is also becoming now an activity that can only be afforded by the affluent parts or citizens or in the country, and that cannot be allowed to continue. So this is in addition to a number of other things that are happening within the domestic tourism sector. But the observation from what they reported is that less people are traveling domestically, but they are spending more, meaning more South Africans are really not affording. So domestic tourism is also becoming an elitist type of activity. There was an issue about the usage of consultants to say this is a recurring concern, because even the previous financial matter was raised, but SAT is still using the consultants, particularly with their IT. In their responses, they said no, that they deal with a different market, so they need some specialists who will deal with this, which is fair. But for other issues that can be done in-house, the committee said they must insource, because they will not only be reducing their spend on consultants, but they will also be increasing opportunities for employment within SAT. 7.14 deals with the grading scheme. The concerns are continuing with the grading scheme. Besides the issue of it being voluntary, the issue is that it continues to struggle with improving performance. We have this downward trend of establishments that are graded and most are pulling out of the system, and also the private sector continues to complain about what they call the basket of benefits for those people who are graded, and they are complaining about people who are operating illegally without any consequences. So it has to deal with compliance around grading, which is a concern which needs more stringent monitoring of how the scheme is implemented in the country. 715 is about the tourism levy, appreciation there of the support from the private sector to say they are continuing to contribute towards marketing of South Africa through SAT. But there are issues there, because the number of levy collectors is also not increasing. So the scheme is voluntary. Members will recall it is 1% of their revenue per year, and it's only those who want to contribute that contribute. And members will recall this is a matter that was discussed, I think it was the 14-15 financial year. Members will recall that one of the provinces, KZN, at the time was saying this levy is not helping. They even wanted to introduce their own tourism tax, but they later withdrew the proposal because the private sector wanted a chance to improve on levy collectors, and the numbers of levy collectors is not improving. So moving forward, maybe it is a policy issue that the committee will need to look at, whether you scrap the levy as such and introduce a tourism tax rather than a tourism levy that is voluntary. But there are many implications for that, and other countries do have it, because if other contributors can contribute that 1% through the levy, it means others can also contribute. But the challenge there is, once it becomes a tax, it moves away from the control of SAT now. It goes to the national fiscus, and you lose that advantage. So in terms of the practicality, it's better implemented as a levy, because National Treasury does not get into the sphere in terms of controlling it as a tax. But the issue is with the number of levy collectors. Homestays members, under 716, members were saying there is this growing trend. Members will recall even when we visited other provinces, it is contained in the previous report, but this is an emerging and a growing trend. Members were discussing about a homestay program that has recently been launched here in Western Cape, in the town called food, so fat. And that as much as the this is happening, but it doesn't get its way, it, or its prominence within the marketing initiatives, SAT, to say SAT must look at a way of starting to package these emerging niches in terms of our sector. Then the convention members are also talking about to say there's a challenge with the convention of two issues. Convention, one, with a business delegate. People come to South Africa for business events. We don't have enough dedicate boosting to allow people to come with their spouses and children when they come for conferences to stay for pre and post tours so that they don't only become business dedicates but they become leisure tourists. There is poor conversion there, but also another conversion in terms of VFR to say most of our domestic tourism consists of VFR, but we do not convert these visiting friends and relatives into leisure tourists. And this is a matter that members raised concern because recall when SAT was presenting in their APP, they even said this that they still need to study, to commission studies to understand how the VFR market works and how it contributes to the entire domestic tourism, which the committee said that was not acceptable because this is a matter that has been discussed for a long time. Then the Nordic markets, there was an issue around Nordic markets to say there was ring fence budget for Nordic markets. As much as this is appreciated, but the value for money, it was not visible at the time. In the responses that SAT provided, it shed some light in terms of how much was spent and what was the return on investment, and it looks like a healthy return on investment, and that's why the committee says such initiatives to go to markets that are not mainly our core markets and activate there will assist in bringing more tourists to the country. Safety and security concerns on 719. It was a general concern around the increase in safety and security incidents against tourists in the country. There is a lot that has been reported, but what has this triggered are the responses by some of the source markets like the US, the United States, Australia, and UK recently issued some travel advisories with Australia issuing a very, a dangerous one in terms of our market because it is very harsh, and we know the whole diplomatic spat between DECO and South Africa that has arisen due to that. But we are not as tourism working at that space. Ours is to look at what are the messages that SAT is communicating with these markets to ensure that South Africa remains open for business despite these incidents. Then we have the issue of SME support. To say SAT continues to support emerging markets, and that is appreciated, and we know as they are at Indaba, they've taken even some of these SMEs through their program called the Hidden Gems, but the concern is that the program targets a fewer number of SMEs, and that the reports that you get after some of the trade shows they visit is that they don't get adequate support even if they go to this international trade show. So is to enhance that program. It's a very good program, but it's to enhance it to ensure that we optimize the benefits that we can harness from SME support, given that we also have the incentive program that supports them through these trade shows. So from these observations, then there are consolidated recommendations that look at across issues. So they are not just specific to either SAT or NDT. They are just referred to the minister because some of the issues will be cross-cutting between SAT. So they are not drafted in terms of these are for SAT, these are for the department. The first one is that the the minister continues to engage National Treasury with regard to increasing allocation of budget to tourism vote through the MTF, and then there was a time frame of before the Minister of Finance delivers the MTPPS, there must be some feedback from the Minister of Tourism to say where are these engagements with National Treasury, because this will also assist with drafting of the committee's BRRR report. Also, improvement on and prioritization of legislation, policy and strategy to keep up with emerging trends and global tourism, including the regulation of the sharing economy in the sector. So this is about innovations in terms of what is happening in the sector, and also fast-tracking the tourism bill. 8.3 is that the minister engages the department to improve all the on his communication strategy, especially on programs offered, because that was the main concern raised by the member, to say the department is not visible on the ground. 8.4 is that after the finalization of the master plan, the minister engages investors to ensure that, like for example, the Port St. John's one, it's of no good to have a good plan, but then you don't have. So it's to say when they go for these investor machines and so on, they also seek investment opportunities for those. 8.5, we recognize there are two 8.5, but we'll correct that. Then the minister ensures that the department improves on project planning and implements the improvement plans, including advanced planning for all the projects that are implemented with external resources. That was the observation of improvement, but if to say they strengthen that one, because we still have some loopholes. Also, that there is an improvement on the collection and collation of tourism statistics to ensure credible and useful measurement of the impact of the of tourism in the socio-economic of the country, and that the minister continues to engage the Minister of Home Affairs to improve the ease of access through tourist-friendly immigration regulations and visa regime, including expediting the e-visa facilitation, and report to the committee on progress within 6 months of receiving this report. There are reports that we read about these engagements between the two ministers. It seems like something is happening, but there's nothing formal to the committee. So we put a time frame there to say, let's not just read these things from either the departmental website or the media. Within 6 months, we think something would have happened to these engagements, then the minister can come and with the committee to say where are we in terms of the entire immigration issue in the country. Then, 8.7 is that we expedite transformation of the tourism sector by improving poor programs and capitalizing on the tourism transformation fund to enable participation of previously marginalized communities. This is very important because members recall even in the previous financial year, there were issues about dealing with the government-owned and enterprises and so on, and those cannot take off the ground without some money made available to do that. So I think as the discussion about more allocation to vote 33, this is the issue that should be looked at very seriously. And that also there is a strict monitoring of the implementation of the 5 in 5 strategy to ensure increased international arrivals and domestic trips. But the recommendation there, we restricted it to this because we know if you increase the arrivals, the international arrivals and domestic trips, automatically you increase everything else. And 8.9 is that there's minimization of the usage of consultants and contribution to job creation to employing the skilled youth to conduct the work already commissioned to the consultant. That is particular with regard to SAT. And also, that minister consolidates activities meant to ensure safety and security for tourists and report quarterly to the committee. This is what the member said, to say this discussion was in relation to the committee that the minister has established, where he meets the stakeholders on safety issues, and the committee said at least there must be the quarterly, whenever they come for quarterly meetings, there must be a slide that talks to issues of tourism, because this is an immediate threat in terms of our arrivals. So I'll stop there, Chairperson, in terms of the observations and those consolidated recommendations, and we will take further improvements to the report from members, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kuzayo. I will now open up for members to engage and deliberate on the draft report. I note you, Honorable Forth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm happy with all of the recommendations, and I think it's a good summary of the committee's input over a number of meetings to come to this particular point. There's just one addition I would like to make, and that is to, we've got specific reference here to where the minister should engage the Minister of Home Affairs on the visa issue, and the minister should engage Treasury on the budget issue. Similarly, I think the minister should engage also with the Minister of Local Government, and that is specifically with regards to the municipality's role within terms of product development and destination marketing. This committee has gone on a number of oversight visits, and every time we are unhappy about what we see at municipal level. And I think it should be expressed somewhere where the committee notes concern that there's a lack of municipal investment in tourism products at local level, and therefore municipalities should be engaged via our report to say there should be at least money set aside for local economic development with the aim of developing tourism products in townships, villages, and at local level. And that could be the revival of stagnant tourism products, new tourism products in markets that we've not explored yet, that's usually off the beaten track, your villages, townships. So I think really there's an important connection that we could build into our budget recommendation, the role of municipalities in tourism. Thank you.
Honourable Member, Honourable Adam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, it slipped my mind, but to the recommendation that the Honourable Member made, I think we should also include transport as accessibility to the destinations, and the signage is very, very important. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Members, do we have anything with regards to the report? If there aren't any, with the inclusion of these, I would call for the adoption of the report as a true reflection of our budgetary report in preparation for our budget vote, the recommendations that we are going to be putting to the Minister and the Department. Honourable Masihana.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I would like to propose for the adoption of this report as the true reflection of what we have been doing as a committee with the additions that have been made. Thank you.
Honourable Adam.
Honourable Chair, I second the proposal just made. Thank you.
Honourable Kaula, welcome, followed by Honourable Forth.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's been a while. No, I support Chair, but without taking away the right of my caucus to make different. So actually, with those reservations, that my caucus will take a final decision if it supports or not. Otherwise, I note the the budget.
Okay, let me just explain to you. You know, what we've done with this report this time, we've allowed for all the deliberations that happened in committees. Say, in these committees, when we were dealing with the APP of the department and when we were dealing with the APP of the entity, these were some of, we then put them as observations so that we know that they are reflected on the report. So if your caucus would want to add some of the observations, we'll welcome that. But we'd want you to share with us, because these were deliberations in the committees. Honourable Post?
I just want to say the same, Madam Chair. So from the DA perspective, we agree with the observations. We support the recommendations. And then obviously at the budget vote next week, we'll make further pronouncements on whether we support the budget or not. But as far as this budget report is concerned with the recommendations and the two additions on transportation and municipalities, we do support the recommendations. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Members. What is most important is that for us to acknowledge that the recommendations and the observations that are in this report are deliberations and that happened in our committee. It's a true reflection of what we've observed, what we've raised, and what we, even the recommendations that we are making to the minister and the department and the entity are recommendations that we made in the portfolio committee when we're dealing with the APPs and reports and quarterly performance reports. So the next item on the agenda, Honourable Members, will be an invitation to the portfolio committee after the budget vote. The ministry is requesting us to visit a tourism centre in Gugulethu. It's called Gugusthebe Cultural Centre in Langa. My corrections, in Langa. So after the budget vote, because our budget vote is on the 17th at 4 o'clock, so immediately after the budget vote, we are invited to visit this centre together with the Deputy Minister, Tabete, and we will do our RSVPs with Ms. Melanie Titus in order for facilitation of logistics for us to attend them. It's not a budget, after budget dinner or something. It's us visiting a tourist product after our budget vote, so that we reflect on a network and further engage our stakeholders that would be there after the budget vote. So I strongly put it that we actually adhere and heed to this invitation. Honourable Secretary, do we have anything in terms of announcements before we close the meeting?
Chair, the only thing I think we can convey to Member Chair, as per the previous decision of the committee, there will be no committee meeting now up to until the 23rd of May, Chair. Then is the debate on the 17th of May, then the next committee meeting will be on the 23rd of May.
Thank you, Secretary. With that, let me wish all of us, as we prepare for our political engagement towards the budget vote on the 17th, and I hope there aren't any surprises that we do not know, but all the best to all of us as members of the portfolio committee, and the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Then
start
from the beginning.
We missed you. Oh, yeah, I didn't want to. I think you're good. I've been enjoying this.
Oh.
Are we going to France or are we not going to France?